Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to this special program here on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. I'm Dick Russ. Dan Dealey is our producer, and we are in the studio now with five members of the Culture Project. If you haven't heard of them, you will. And if you have heard of them, you know the great works they're doing here in Northeast Ohio, across the state of Ohio, and all around the country for the last several years. We'll learn more about the Culture Project, what they do, what they're doing in Cleveland, what it means to young people who are involved and whose lives they touch. And first, let's meet everybody. So I'm going to tell you real quickly that we have Caitlin, Helen, Emily, Mike, and Sam. So Caitlin, please introduce yourself. You're the team leader. Tell us a little bit about yourself as we get started.
Yeah, thanks for that intro. My name is Caitlin.
Yeah, we try to make a big intro here.
I'm a second-year missionary with the Culture Project. I served on the Toledo team last year. I'm originally from North Dakota, and then I graduated in 2021 from Benedictine College, where I studied theology, evangelization, catechesis, and music. And I came to the Culture Project because I really saw a need to speak to young people about particularly the topic of abortion and what it means to uphold the dignity of all human life. And the Culture Project does that in classrooms all across Ohio and Pennsylvania. I thought this was a great fit for that.
Yeah, so you said you're the team leader. So there are, is this the whole team, the five of you in the studio with us here?
Yes, this is the whole team.
Okay. And Helen, let's go to you. Helen Trumbull.
Hi. Hey, everyone. My name's Helen. I'm from Texas. We have two Texans on the team. You'll hear from Emily. And I'm originally from Houston, went to the University of Dallas and studied biology, and had big plans to go to medical school. But as I started applying, the Lord just helped me realize what my true passions were, that I did want to help people, but more than help them heal their bodies, I had this deeper desire to attend to people spiritually and emotionally. So I had this pull to do mission work, and when I encountered the Culture Project, I was just blown away by the way that the young people here boldly speak out against like controversial topics in the church. So we speak about abortion, pornography, just the value of the human person, and then we speak just so joyfully about living a life of chastity. And anytime I heard a chastity talk growing up in high school, I always needed to hear it. And so I just thought if I could give back in some way and be like the speakers I heard, that it would just be, you know, so worth the year, 2 years that I give my life to this mission.
Just listening to you here for the last 90 seconds, you're off to a great start. Hey, we're taping this, Helen. And then Emily, I'll ask you this too. You're from Texas. Oh, you served in Toledo, right?
Yes, I was in Toledo.
So you've seen
Caitlin.
Snow before.
I have.
Okay.
I have.
Because we just had like a little squall or a blizzard as we walked in here.
Yes, we did.
Isn't it fun?
It is fun. I actually really like scraping my car with the snow scraper.
Really?
Thing.
Oh, yeah, boy, do we so have far. A job for you in addition to being with the Culture Project. So here's Emily Nivar. Emily's also from Texas. We're from Houston?
I'm from Houston as well, yes. Not too far from Helen. I'm from a family of 11 kids, the second oldest, and I was homeschooled almost all my life. And then I went to University of Dallas with a degree in theology, graduated this past May. And what drew me to the Culture Project is really this desire to see people come alive, realizing their own dignity and that they have worth. I did a lot of ministry and work with Brian Butler and Demox Ministries in Louisiana, a theology of the body nonprofit, and really enjoyed staffing his retreats and being a missionary with him a couple summers ago. And so graduating from college, wanting to do a marriage and family ministry in some capacity for the rest of my life, it was just a really good fit and next step for me to be able to enter into this for a year, maybe 2 years, and really be able to reach some lives and touch people's hearts and help them realize their own dignity as human people.
All right, that's Emily. Sam Arnold from Maryland is with us also. So Sam, tell us a little bit about yourself. And hey, welcome to Cleveland.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so a little bit about me. Obviously, like you said, I'm from Maryland, so that's fun. Grew up there for most of my life and went to the University of Maryland where I studied kinesiology and pre-medicine. And actually, I think unlike most people here, the Culture Project actually found me rather than me finding them. And what struck me about the mission, so I was actually preparing to apply to medical schools, but what struck me about the mission was they're so focused on encountering who the human person is and really ministering to them in that, helping us discover like who we are and who they are. And just the difference in how they experience the human person from what I'd seen in the medical field was really what drew me to it.
That's very cool. And Mike Sobus is with us. Mike's from South Carolina. Welcome again, Mike. And How long have you been with the Culture Project? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, thank you. This is my first year with the Culture Project. I just graduated in May from Franciscan University in Steubenville. I studied biology as well, with minors in theology and chemistry, and first heard about the Culture Project as I was taking a Theology of the Body course under Dr. Ashi at Franciscan my senior year, and was just struck by the message of human dignity and sexuality. It was something I hadn't heard of growing up, and just had this burning desire to share it with other people. Like, if our sexuality, if this is such an important way of how we experience love on this side of heaven, then why didn't I hear this growing up in the church? And I wanted to be able to give that to other young people and my understanding of it.
Okay, that's Mike. Caitlin Ripplinger, the team leaders. It's your second year. You said you were in Toledo last year. You're in Cleveland with a total of five of you. So we heard kind of what the Culture Project is about, what got you into it, what the general message is. Define a little more clearly what the message is and how do you get it out? What do? Podcast? Do you stand on the street corner? Do you go to schools? What do you do?
Sure, great question. So as missionaries, we're all young adults, obviously recent college grads, and we're primarily speaking ministry. So we go to middle schools, high schools, and youth groups, and we have a few different talks that we give to the students on human dignity, sexual integrity, and social media use, and how to use that virtuously. So that's kind of like the gist of what we do. But besides that, we also try to reach out to the young adults in the area and like create community that way. And we also spend at least an hour a week praying outside of abortion facilities and offering resources to the women to be like on the front lines of this as well as in the classroom. But in the classrooms as well, we also try to offer like coming early to the events to have a meal with the students or doing lunch encounters where we go back to schools that we've already spoken to build a relationship with these students and hopefully help them along the path to holiness in this way.
Helen, you do this kind of thing too? You've been doing this, right? You go to the schools and all that sort of thing and talk to the people.
Mm-hmm.
So what do? Stand there and look at you like, or I'm serious, because you're, even in a Catholic school, you're talking to a crowd that has been saturated in the current culture to whatever degree, right? Some more and some less. Some people really underestimate the power that society, social media, and just the general atmosphere can have, even for a person who is, let's say, brought upright and tries to stay on the straight and narrow. Give us a look at what it looks like to you when you give one of these presentations.
Yeah, I think there's a variety of reactions in the audience. So, and it depends on the diocese that we're in and just the demographic. So I've spoken in the Diocese of Toledo, which is a very pro-life diocese. We speak in New York during training, so we had, you know, a completely different demographic and population of students. And then here in Cleveland, we've spoken several times as well. So it just varies. You have some students who are right on board with the message and are excited. They agree with us. I have encountered some students, especially with the abortion section, who have questions, especially in tougher cases. But once we continue that conversation after the presentation and Q&A, that's where we can really get to the heart of the matter. So with something like abortion, they'll talk about like how shouldn't a woman have the right to end the life of their child in the womb if that child will suffer? And then I can ask a question like, okay, so what you're saying is if a child's suffering, the woman should have a right to end their life so she can prevent that suffering. And I'll be like, can she end the life of an infant, a newborn, if she thinks it'll suffer? And they'll be like, oh, no, they can't. And so that gets to the heart. Okay, so they don't think life begins in the womb. And so then I can ask them, when does life begin? We can like begin that discussion. And so I think that the way that we explain our message through stories really speaks to their hearts, and then through asking them questions to get them thinking, because the culture isn't teaching them to ask those questions. It's teaching them, yeah, that life is meaningless if they're suffering in it, but they know at their core that that's not true, you know? So there's a variety of reactions though, so I could go on.
Yeah, but Sam, it's not the young people's fault largely too, that they haven't heard the truth. Say the truth about life, when life begins, the truth about what a human person is. Many adults, maybe a majority, don't kind of grasp that in our country and generally in the West anymore. What is the human person? You know, St. John Paul II elucidated that very, very clearly, as did, Pope Benedict. And how do you then, in your work, try to reach them? You know, we heard from Helen. Kind of what's your approach, Sam?
Yeah, so it's a very similar one in that we need to start by recognizing the value in each and every person and like start at the very beginning. So really get to the heart of the matter, like Helen was saying, where does life begin? And also just how valuable is it that each and every one of us is created? So we really talk into created in the image and likeness of God, and therefore we have value because of that. So in order to really build up the fact that we are loved, we are created for love, and that's really all there is to it, that we need to understand that.
I mean, it's a simple truth, you know. Emily, when you do this, you have receptive ears and eyes. What would you say?
Yeah, for me, it'd be the same thing. I've, at least in my work with Theology of the Body over the past several years, seeing kids come to these retreats, come to these things because they're either forced to come or they want something else. You can see them closed off at the beginning, but then by the end of the week, they are just fully alive because they're embracing who they are.
They're hungry
as men,
for
women.
Things,
they're hungry
aren't they?
For, yeah. They're really desiring it. And so you can see this need in our culture. So it's been really good for me just being able to go into the schools and speak to this, knowing that I've seen this change in other people. And this is something I know we all desire deep down. So to be able to speak that truth into them, to let them know they're loved, to let them know they're created, let them know that God has such a huge purpose for their life, that they aren't just some objects in the world. They aren't someone who's just treated negatively, that they are worthy of being treated with love and respect, is really big for me to be able to let them see, like, just why they were created and how they were created and for what purpose they were created.
This is your second year?
This is my first year.
Your first year. Okay. And Mike, it's your first year as well. So, this is a big commitment, right? I mean, you could be doing something else. You could be working. You could be in grad school or doing both, right? And you take a year off, and in your cases, 2 years to serve the church, to serve the cause of truth and life and serve our Lord. And a lot of young people don't have 10 minutes to make a commitment, seriously, to anything. And here you are talking about a year or two. Well, what about it, Mike?
Sure. Yeah. Going into college, I think the last thing I thought I'd be doing after school was going on mission.
Yeah. Well, you call yourselves missionaries. I picked that up.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
That's intentional. Right?
Intentional. Yeah. We believe we're sent out. We're called by name to go on this mission. And maybe we didn't all think that we were equipped to go on mission, but he doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. So that's why we're here. It's because God called louder than what we thought we were going to be doing, than what the world wanted us to be doing. Eventually, he just walked with us in every step of the way. We said yes in little ways until we were here and said yes in a big way. Really, he has a way of surprising us.
I was just going to say, God's full of surprises, isn't he? And it never stops.
Right. Yeah. Right. I know going into school, I thought I'm going to do engineering or biology and get my degree in just a couple years and then start making money and being successful. And I just got so caught up in the success of it. My freshman year, my advisor sat me down in his office and asked me a question. What are you called to do? And you know, that was never the question. It was always, how am I going to make the most money or set myself up in the best way possible? And this was an entirely new perspective for me. It took a lot of soul searching through college because that question really rocked me to my core and eventually led me to say yes to doing mission work first through my university, then through Focus. I did summer projects with them. And then eventually was led to the Culture Project.
And Caitlin, you're 2 years into it now. You mentioned positive reception you got in Toledo. So here in Cleveland, how long have you been here in Cleveland now? Say, how many stops have you made, you know, presentations and that sort of thing, encounters? And how have you been received diocesan-wide?
Yeah, so far we've been here since about October 8th. And we've given over 50 presentations.
That's just when we're recording this. That's just more than a month.
Yeah. Whoa. So we've been busy team.
Yeah.
Praise God. That's awesome. And it seems like, yeah, the kids here, we can definitely tell, are open to this message, although there might be some hesitancy, especially with the overturning of Roe v. Wade this past summer. The topic of abortion is a little more heated, but I can really say that there's an openness and a desire to learn what authentic love is, especially if it's not something that they're seeing maybe at home or seeing in social media or seeing in their friends around them. But they know like there's something different. And I think we offer them something different that they want to see and want to cling to.
So any one of you can grab this. How do you, okay, so I've heard about the Culture Project. I think my kids, and what's the youngest you do? Fifth grade, sixth?
Sixth grade.
So I've got sixth or eighth graders or a high school, and I want you guys to come in and talk to them, whether it's Catholic, public, private, you know, homeschool. What should an organization or a school be thinking of, you know?
Yeah, to bring us into their school, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's really easy. They just need to go to our website, which is www.thecultureproject.org.
Okay.
And you hit the Invite Us tab at the top, and then you just fill out a form saying what presentation you want us to give, and that will get you in contact with our scheduling department.
And so what is it, like an hour you take? You come in once, twice? How does that go?
Yeah, we can come in as many times as the school wants. So every school's different. We have some bringing us in for all three presentations in a year. Some pick a specific presentation for each grade.
So three presentations, you have three different kind of things? And
yes.
Okay.
Three different presentations, human dignity, sexual integrity, and social media, and also parent talk, which we really, really encourage that to be the first one we give to a school so that the parents are on the same page as us.
And you're anticipating my next question, parents. But yeah, go ahead about the three. So what does it take, like an hour for the presentation?
Yeah, about 50 minutes to an hour with, you know, some Q&A. Okay. But yeah, we could, depending if it's a parish and we're coming in for youth group, we can come in for a meal. And we really encourage that just to get to know the students before we speak to them. And then we can stay after for Q&A. So anywhere from like hour and a half, 2 hours.
Okay, so it's thecultureproject.org.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah. So everybody, you're listening. You know, I know these guys for years, and we just met these folks, but I've known of the Culture Project, and I can tell you that they're doing some great work. Thecultureproject.org. Get them into your school, get them into your parish, get them into your youth group, your ministry. You have to hear from these people because they're living it. And not a lot of people do. All right, you mentioned abortion. So here we are, you know, some months out after Roe v. Wade. We're recording this not long after the election, in which in all five cases around this country, pro-abortion, like maniacal things, were passed by majorities of voters. And I'm going to let you know about this, too. You might have noted it, and I did, at least in several instances where they polled kids at public universities in these states, how did they vote? And it was like 95% to 5 in favor of abortion. Okay, this is your age group. What the heck's going on? What, I mean, has the culture so obliterated people's reason, their thinking ability? I want to hear from you guys because, you know, I'm an old guy and I've seen this come and go a lot. I'm just dumbfounded about the hostility and like the single-mindedness. Any one of you folks can pick on it.
Yeah. So, I mean, from what I've experienced, there's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of misunderstanding as well about just what the human person is and how much we need to care about each other. And there's definitely these cases where people don't really understand like the value of a person at its core. I've actually experienced it in a couple of schools where the topic of human dignity was just almost completely foreign. It was really just like, how exactly can a person be worth so much? And I think it all draws back to made in the image and likeness of God. I feel like, especially the young people, haven't been exposed to that as much, haven't always been told this message of worth, of dignity, and really just a value in general.
Yeah, Pope Francis has talked about the throwaway culture. Right, Emily, you're what, one of 11 kids?
Yeah,
so,
I am.
I mean, you know a little bit about family life. Give us some idea of what parents of, say, whether their kids are in elementary school, middle school, high school, university, just some things that parents can do to, let's say, reinforce what you're talking about when you get their kids into school.
Yeah, I'm happy you asked this question. It's one of my favorite talks to give is the parent talk.
I figure somebody that, you know, with 10 brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
You got the chops to talk about.
Being one of the oldest, me and my older brother were kind of like the guinea pigs, so you would say, of how my parents raised us.
That's the way it goes. There's some advantages to being the oldest or the second oldest, but, you go down the
line. I wouldn't trade it for the world. Yeah. It was really good for us. I think I tell parents this, that right now, when they give their children talks or they try to give boundaries, right now kids are like, we know better than you do. We don't want to listen. They're rude. And I'm able to tell the parents, whenever my parents were setting boundaries for me with social media, with phones, with dating, I was did not understand why they gave me these rules. I, you know, just didn't understand because all my friends were doing everything else. And I felt like even the stuff I wanted to do was not really that bad. So there's a lot of rebellion there. But I've been able to see, and it's been beautiful that I've been able to tell my dad when I'm on the phone with him that thank you for doing what you've done because I see how big of a difference it has on my own life. So I think just even when it was hard, especially now being a parent in our culture, is so hard, so much harder than it's ever been, that really just taking an interest in your child, having those ongoing conversations with them about stuff in our culture, about sexuality, about the goodness of their bodies and God's plan for sexuality, the reasons why they give boundaries for social media, for phone use, for them to continue to invest and do that for their kids, because even though it may be hard, and there's a lot of that our culture is telling kids that they should be rebellious and not do this and want all these things, the more and more parents do this and really continue to love their kids, even when it's hard, is going to have a payback. I've seen it in my own life and the lives of several of my siblings. And now my younger siblings who are like, I don't understand why you have these rules. I'm like, just wait. Like, it's a good thing that my parents have these rules. So be able to speak that into my own parents, into some other parents as I give these parent talks, of letting them know what you're doing for your kid is so good and they are going to love you for it, even if they don't necessarily show it right now. So continue to love them, have those conversations with them, make it a back and forth conversation so they can put their input as well, so really come to this good understanding of just who they are and who their parents like really love them for. It's just for being them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, chastity is one of your talks and it's a very big kind of a foundational aspect of the Culture Project. But man, how do you get through? Look, you know, I was in high school in the 60s, all right? And you all read about the 60s, what a wild time it was and all that kind of thing. But I got to tell you, what's happening today, the no boundaries on anything, makes some of that really look like a tame time. And, you know, you talk about chastity in a school, are you going to get laughed out by 99% of the people? Because of the way everybody's doing everything, everything's on social media, nobody's got any boundaries, society's telling everybody, do everything, whatever you, yeah, I mean, it's just like exploded like crazy. I give you guys credit to try to counter that. But Mike, what's your experience when you talk about, you know, remaining an integral person and being chaste? They're gonna go, are you kidding, man? I got these things to do.
Sure, yeah, no. Society will tell them that they have to experiment, that they have to go out and figure out what they like and what they don't like. And what they're missing is that our culture will present young people today with either two options. You can either indulge the desires that you have, or you can repress them. There's no in between. And they'll say with indulgence, like, oh, you feel like you can't master your desires? Well, you're right. You can't master them. So treat yourself as you would an animal or a machine and go wild. What they miss is that teens who are experiencing the hookup culture are 2 times as likely to be depressed if they're men, 3 times for women. Mm-hmm. 85% of college-age students who are engaging in the hookup culture say that their desires for intimacy weren't met. So they're missing something fundamental about the experience where people's desires are not being met, and people experience that and come to this sense of despair. And now don't say that, oh, well, the only other alternative is repression, denial of sexuality, saying it's bad or pushing this down. Well, no, there's actually this third way of redemption, of chastity, which is the integration of body and soul, right? And you can see how with indulgence, you're just gratifying the body, but leaving behind the other very human dimensions of the mind and the spirit.
Well, you talk about depression, sure, and that's where that comes
right.
from. It's not an integral person.
Right, yeah. Because as soon as you say, your body is saying, I'm giving myself entirely to you, but then your mind might be saying, actually, I'm not so sure, I'm gonna hold something back, or maybe I'll go see someone else
later. Yeah, tomorrow it'll be somebody else. Yeah,
yeah, right. Well, your body is wired for monogamy. Your body is saying, this is the person I'm going to remember and be with the rest of my life. So once you start having this dissociation between what's physical and what's mental, like that causes an internal break in the person. And chastity is all about bringing back integrity to the person, integrating the body and the soul, so that we're not saying that the body is evil, like with repression. Mm-hmm. But we're not also saying just do whatever the body is telling you to, but we're actually integrating the body and soul, faith and reason here, so that we have a fully alive approach to sexuality, where our desires for intimacy on the levels of the mind, the body, and the spirit are satisfied.
It's tough work, isn't it? Caitlin, you've been doing it for 2 years now, and you have your work cut out for you, but you do it happily, huh?
Oh, for sure.
We see what you are up against, but the results, if you can see them, and maybe you don't see them right away, that can really be exciting, huh?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's really beautiful that we get to invite them to this life of abundance that Christ wants us to, you know, in John 10:10, he says, like, you know, the thief comes to steal, slaughter, and destroy, but I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. And through living a life of chastity and of integration and of virtue, like, we are asking these students, like, these same questions, like, and allowing them to say yes to Christ and invite them into this relationship. Awesome when we are able to see the fruit right away, but also oftentimes as well, we're not able to see it right away, which I think is a really humbling and beautiful experience of being like a touch point or like a stepping stone in someone's journey, that we might not hear what the difference that the chastity talk maybe gave to them, or learning about human dignity or whatever, until years down the road when something happens. But yeah, I know if you want to hear specific stories, I know Helen has a couple.
Yeah, I was just going to go to Helen, because my question would be, you give the presentations and that's great, and you get a captive audience for a while and it sinks in to some degree. Yeah, but then a week goes by and a month and 6 months and a year and two, and you know, your life goes on and maybe you haven't been reinforced. So tell us the story, and then tell us how, like, if you've heard this, what do you do next? Okay, I think this has some value. Culture Project's not coming back next year to my school, or I've graduated or whatever. So how do I, you know, kind of stay in line with what they said?
Yeah, well, there's a few things come to mind. Well, one, I've just been so impressed here in Cleveland with the teachers that we've come into contact with and how much they love the students and how on fire they are for the faith. And so when we leave a school, I feel like I'm leaving the students in such loving hands. And so I really feel like we just support what the teachers are already saying. And it's so essential to have that young adult witness, like what your teacher's saying, like we agree with. And so in that sense, even though we're leaving them, it's like we're leaving them in good hands. But then in terms of continuing that conversation with them, we were big on social media outreach. So we have a lot of blogs, YouTube videos, Instagram that they can follow. And so they can stay connected with this online community of young people who are living this out, so they don't feel so alone if they were really struck by that message. And then we just hope to honestly, yeah, just connect them to other resources, encourage them to go to like Steubenville youth conferences, mm-hmm. get plugged into their youth groups to find that community. Because we tell them, like, you can't live this out alone.
Y'all live in community, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at Assumption Parish in Broadview Heights, a wonderful place, and you know, right down the road from the radio station. So you all need each other, mm-hmm. I'm guessing, in this work, right?
Oh, yeah. We couldn't do this on our own. You know, one of my teammates last year asked me, she was like, or she reminded me how important it is to be able to come back home to our team and community and be received in love. Because we ourselves need to be reminded of this message. Every time I give the human dignity presentation, I realize, like, I'm placing my value in other things other than being a child of God, you know? And so it's a good reminder to me. And then my team, like, Jesus loves me through them, the way that they love me, not for what I do or, you know, for my personality, but they love me in my brokenness and my poverty. So yeah, we need each other for sure. And Jesus loves us through community, through each other.
Sam, we have a few minutes left. You see some results, you know, when you talk to folks?
Like Helen was saying, like, oftentimes we don't have a lot of time to see the results, but we do often hear, like, back from students, like, I liked that talk.
Yeah, or something simple stuff like that.
Something simple like that, that it may have made an impression on them. It may have had an effect, and we might not necessarily see the end results of it, but in the end, like, we'll know, like, in some way we were there. So
yeah. How long has Culture Project been around? How many years now?
About? We're entering the 9th year of Culture Project itself, but here in Cleveland, this is the 4th year.
Yeah. So 9 years, I mean, that it would have been gone long ago had there not been positive work and positive results. If you're this busy, I'm sure that you're up for anyone to contact you and get on board, okay? So we're just going to tell everybody go to theculture, theCultureProject.org and click on, what is it, schedule us or
invite? It's either schedule us or invite.
Invite us, something invite like us that. In. And what are your social media places that folks can hop on to?
So we're on all the major platforms for like Instagram. We're at The Culture Project, I-N-T-L. We're on Facebook and TikTok. And we have many videos on YouTube as well on different topics of like dating and what that can look like.
Okay, so just The Culture Project, right?
I-N-T-L, yeah.
And so if other folks, you have to be a university graduate basically to hop on and become a missionary? No, you can still be in school?
No, you can apply at any point as a young adult. So we had people applying as 18-year-olds out of high school.
Okay.
We have people applying all the way up until, I think, our oldest missionary is 27. So we have a broad age range there, still within that young adult
group. Wait, did
group,
somebody
though.
Just raise their hand?
Yeah, I'm the 27-year-old. Okay. I am the oldest Culture Project missionary.
Sure. So yeah, we've had former military people apply. We've had college graduates apply. So
that's outstanding. That's good. And you can do that online, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. Well, look, if you're listening and this hits you well, with a couple minutes left, what would your life like outside of each of you throw in a minute or half a minute or so? Okay. So you are not like 24/7 in a school or giving a talk. What's the rest of your life look like as a missionary?
Yeah, as a missionary, we primarily speak in schools, but we also write monthly newsletters to donors. We're in charge of writing blogs every month, keeping in contact with all of our donors, sending out thank you letters, calling them, just doing more office work in that way to reach out to our donors who are supporting us over here. And then we record things for YouTube and stuff to continue to do more outreach via social media. And when we're not doing all this, it's spending a lot of time in our community, growing in community, growing our men's and women's communities, and really just, yeah, growing in formation and prayer together as a community so we can better be able to minister to the kids that we're speaking to.
So you have meals together and attend, religious services together and that sort of thing?
Yeah, we, as missionaries, make a commitment to do a holy hour and go to Mass every day.
Okay. So it's kind of like maybe a religious community, mm-hmm. you know, like Benedictines living in community or Jesuits or something like that, right?
Yeah, it is similar in that sense where we do rely on each other, but ultimately on Christ, because everything that we do, our community life, our work flows from prayer. And without that, we would be nothing. We wouldn't be able to do anything.
Yeah. And I'm sure people want to support you. You mentioned about donors, you know, and in newsletters and all this kind of thing. So just the real quick thing and about just people go online and it says support or donate or whatever. Is that good enough? TheCultureProject.org, and you'll find something there to support?
Yeah, you can support the general fund if you just go to The Culture Project, hit donate. But each of us missionaries support raise our salaries. So you can support particular missionaries within that too, or even reach out and support like the Cleveland team.
Right, now you've met the Cleveland team. So, okay, yeah. That's what you support. Support the Cleveland team. Caitlin, Helen, Emily, Mike, and Sam, listen, we're really happy that you stopped in and that you're our neighbors here at AM 1260 The Rock. Thank you for sharing that. God bless you in your efforts. It's not everybody that kind of puts on the armor and goes out there and fights what, you know, a lot of us who've been around see like Satan everywhere, man. You know, just demons running wild. Like just look at life, you know, look at the culture and look at where the young folks that you're trying to reach, the temptations and the pulls on them and all that sort of thing. So God bless you for what you do, and we'll just have everybody learn more at theCultureProject.org. Look for them on all the social media. They're on the gram. They're on TikTok everywhere. So this is very cool. And tell us what you think. Get in touch with them, and let us know that you've been reached by them. Thank you all so very much. TheCultureProject.org. I'm Dick Russ for AM 1260 The Rock. Dan Dealey's our producer. Thanks for joining us on this special program. Do it right now. Just hit theCultureProject.org, check them out, and I think you'll like what you've seen.